Good afternoon, Hong Kong, and to all our listeners who are listening live, we are actually recording. This is episode 3 of Zero Waste Live Journey. Basically, it's a podcast about zero waste. We're very, very, very excited that we get to record in front of a proper live audience today, because that's a little bit different. Normally, it's just us. You can just hear us. So thank you so much, Stephanie and Paula and the whole team at Green is the New Black for letting us go live at the Conscious Festival. Welcome to Hong Kong. We hope you stay for years to come. This is such a fantastic event. Also want to say Happy Earth Day. How exciting is it to have this panel on Earth Day? So a little bit about me. I'm Sonali. I'm the founder of Green Queen, an eco warehouse. I've been trying to get people to live a little bit more consciously for a few years now. I'm so happy I'm not the only one anymore, and I can't wait for more voices to join the loud cry that we need to keep very much going, because Earth needs us. Joining me today is a very special lady, Regina Larco. She's the founder of, in my opinion, the best podcast in Hong Kong, hashtag Impact. It's a podcast about social impact issues with a focus, especially this season, on women. We met because last year she interviewed me for hashtag Impact, and we just connected immediately. And I told her that I'd always wanted to do a podcast, but I didn't know how to do any of the editing and the producing. And so, but I did tell her I had this vision, because I saw that zero waste was becoming a topic that everyone cares so much about, and it was becoming a big trend, but I felt there were many misconceptions and we weren't going deep enough. And if you know me, you know that I like to go deep with my content. So I told Regina, and she said, why don't we do something together? And so the Zero Waste Live On Air journey was born. And so this is episode 3. In episode 1, we talked about plastic in the oceans, where we found out that there's not 8 million tons of plastic going into the ocean. There's 15 million every year, so we should all be ashamed. In episode 2, we went deep on recycling in Hong Kong with an all-star panel, and we found out that, sad to say, things are not where they should be with recycling. Which brings us to episode 3, which is called Consumption, Journeying to Zero Waste. So for most of us, we've heard the term zero waste, but where did it come from and what does it mean? So zero waste became a media phenomenon about 10 years ago when a French lady in California called Bea Johnson started a movement to reduce waste in her house, and she documented it. She was a mom with a husband and 2 kids, and she started going, how can I make sure that I produce less waste? And her documenting went viral, and she became the first zero waste celebrity and spokesperson and movement leader. And since then, she has inspired millions, including some of the people on this panel. So I'm gonna now let Regina introduce our superstar panel, and it's great to have you with us. Yes.
Yeah, applause.
Later. Our superstar panel, we're so excited to have you here. And first of all, I would like to introduce you to Hannah Chung. She's on a very personal journey, actually, herself, with starting a zero waste challenge. And I always love to start my, if anyone has listened to hashtag Impact podcast, there are some future guests in the room here as well. Well, no, Cortez, she's a future as well. Another zero waste hero. And I love to start with a quote. And Hannah, I found a beautiful quote. You said, no one talks about zero waste. And there's a sense, well, in this room, I think a lot of people talk about zero waste. But there's a sense, you said, that you have to be perfect in order to practice it. But it's not about being perfect. The whole idea why I started was just to spread the message of what an individual can do, however small it is. Hannah, what is your Zero Waste Challenge all about, and why did you get started?
Okay, so I'm originally from London, and I moved here about 4 years ago, and so I started the challenge almost 2 years ago now, And it was my little activism. I saw that in Hong Kong there's just overconsumption. There's too much plastic waste everywhere. Everything is about convenience. You go everywhere, you're given a plastic bag. And I just thought, what can I personally do? So I started the challenge, and through that, actually a lot of interest has come about, and actually a lot of people care about the issue. Since I started 2 years ago, there's only a handful of people doing it, and now we have this whole panel here of people who care about these issues. So yeah, I was also inspired by Bea Johnson and other zero wasters around the world. So there's Trashes for Tosses, who lives in New York. But I thought, can it actually be done in Hong Kong? So that's why essentially I started. I was like, it's a challenge, can it be done? Turns out it's really difficult, but there are ways around it if you're not persistent enough. And, you know, and it's not, again, about being perfect, but just spreading the word of what small acts everyone can do. Growing community, definitely. Rafael Darai is on this journey already for a couple of years. He's the founder of Itga, and he is bringing natural, organic, and fair trade products to Hong Kong, transported in bulk for minimal impact on the environment. And I believe you starting out in this space had actually a lot to do with you becoming a dad. But the zero waste actually came a bit later. That's at least what I read in an interview with you. So fill us in, what's your vision for Edgar and why did you become involved?
Well, the vision for Edgar is really to enable people to buy in bulk and to have the opportunity to buy quality food in the manner that they want. So the quantity, and also bring their own packaging to reduce obviously waste. It came to me, as you said, from my children, who obviously changed my perspective in the world. And I wanted to do something that was meaningful. So I initially started like a food distribution business where we were importing organic products that we couldn't find in Hong Kong. And progressively it came actually from some of my suppliers, which are major bulk suppliers in Europe, and told me that this has a future. And so we looked into it and we looked at like which way we could make it come over here. So initially we offered it as like a solution for retailers, but everybody said, wow, it looks great, but let's see who does it first. And we got called by a leasing manager from a K11 shopping mall, and they convinced us to actually start it. And that's where we started. So that's really popping. Just trying to find our way into the whole business.
Fanny Moritz, the founder of Now No Waste. We already had a little chat in the hashtag Impact Podcast, episode 33. And there you told me, yes, Bea Johnson was a huge inspiration for you starting your online marketplace. But also you mentioned, I actually re-listened to the episode again. I re-listened to yours as well. I was so excited about this day. I had to re-listen to all my zero waste episodes. And I, what really stood out to me was that you said you really want to educate people about the issue. And yeah, so why did you start it and how's it going?
So as you say, everything started with Bea Johnson, so it's the pioneer of the zero waste, as Sonali said before. I was living in Hong Kong since 7 years, and I was developing websites. And then after, I always had a minimalist lifestyle, but when I look at my trash and when I read when I saw the picture of her annual waste of trash fitting into a handy-sized jar, it made me realize that I was still doing too much waste. So I decided to look and to read the book because inside she gives all the solutions to reduce your waste. So I decided to read it and then just to challenge myself and reduce my waste at the maximum. So that's how everything started. And so after, I decided to look for products in Hong Kong, for reusable products in Hong Kong, and I didn't find any of them. So I decided to create the platform, so I changed my business. I decided to create my own platform, Now No Waste. And we regroup and we import all the reusable and biodegradable products to have a zero waste lifestyle in Hong Kong. That's how I started.
Tamsin Thornborough, I did not forget about you. You're the founder of Live Zero, and I want to get this right. Hong Kong's first 100% plastic packaging-free, full-range bulk grocery and beauty store
in Saipun, about the time when your store was about to open, there was not a single person I came across that was not like overly psyched about it. Like, is it open already? Is it open already? And then it opened, and one of the first people that entered your store was, of course, the Green Queen, Sonali, and produced a video, whoever hasn't seen it. I think everyone has seen it, because it pretty much went viral and was shared like, I don't know, how many times?
500,000.
500,000? Oh my God. And I, of course, watched it, and then, of course, I went to the store. It's wonderful. Tell us more about why you started this zero waste journey. And it's not your first business. You actually got started looking into the furniture, and we heard a lot about interior design just now in the panel. It's not your first business, actually. So fill us in.
Yeah, so I have opened another retail store about 3 years ago, and what I wanted to bring to Hong Kong was products that weren't so commercialized. So everything, most everything in the store is handmade, one of a kind, ethically sourced, and very unique. And I think that's what Hong Kong was missing. And we do a lot of workshops as well to deal with furniture waste and how you can revamp furniture, secondhand pieces, pieces you find in the dump, whatnot, and you can just revamp it with just a layer paint, and it's, yeah, so instead of buying new, you can always already use what there is. And I think that's one thing that in Hong Kong you don't really talk about, is all the furniture waste you get here. And then about 2 years ago, I started bringing in reusable products because, like as Fanny said, there was no one in Hong Kong doing it, and I couldn't find the products that I wanted to. So I started bringing in water bottles, reusable food wraps, straws, and whatnot. And over the period of 2 years, it kind of grew and grew almost to a mini store within my store. So about 8 months ago, we opened a pop-up, actually, in Pink Hue, just to test the market and see if zero waste store was possible, and if you would, you know, come shop with us and support us in that way. And that went, yeah, that went really interested talking to people. So I think for myself, I was really inspired by our customers, people who came to the store, and was so happy and thankful that there was something like that. And about 2 months ago, we opened the bulk food store, which is amazing. So now he's a support. It kind of went crazy, which is really good. But I didn't expect it to be that crazy. But I guess it just means that, you know, that's what Hong Kong was waiting for, and that's what Hong Kong needs. And yeah, I just hope that later in the future, more neighborhood stores would pop up in each neighborhood. And that would be amazing for everyone to be able to buy in such a way.
So I think what's really exciting about all these business owners is that they're following what we call the triple bottom line philosophy, which is a business that's for the social good. It's not just for profits. It's for people, it's for the planet. So that's exciting. I hope everyone in this room who's inspired to start a business will think of the triple bottom line, because that's what we need for the future and for our planet and for humankind. We're in Hong Kong, which a lot of people knock down as not being the most eco place in the world. Certainly, last week on our second episode, we had Mr. Paul Zimmerman, the Southern District Councilor and a member of the government, who is a very vocal voice in telling Hong Kongers and lobbying the government to do better. So we do believe that there were government people listening, so we hope they're listening today. So the next question is going to get a little bit more serious, and we're going to ask you. If you were in charge of Hong Kong's environmental policy, what would you change? And I'd like to start with Hannah, because she's the activist heart here.
Yeah.
What would you, if you had the magic wand,
for sure,
the number one thing?
A lot of ways to go about it. Obviously, I want to say ban plastics, single-use plastics, but Taiwan actually introduced that, and it will take them 12 years. So they said by 2030 they will then get rid of the single-use disposables in terms of plastic. But to start off with, I'd actually suggest a rental deposit scheme which Norway has implemented and the UK is also looking at. So where buyers actually, the problem with recycling I feel now is that plastics aren't given
enough value.
They have no value basically. So if the consumer actually pays that deposit and then they return it and they get the deposit back, then it's just a whole closing system and it makes sense. So if they can implement that, then that's what I would start off with. And then phase into the banning of single-use disposables.
I think that's a really great first start, because I think you have to remember that in order for this to work, you need all three parts of the system to work. You need the government to implement the regulation. You need businesses to have a financial incentive. Because let's be honest, we're in Hong Kong, we're the most capitalist city in the world. We're run by 20 of the richest families in the world. And if they're not incentivized, whether it's financially and by regulation, it's going to be very hard to make a mass change. But the last part of that is the consumers. And as much as we can, you know, all of us do our part, we need to also feel that it's worth it to do so. So I really like that. So Tamsin, you're a Hong Kong girl through and through. What would you tell the government or ask for?
For us, for me, it would be because through running the store, we do a system where people can donate their old jars and containers. And what we found was about 50% of the donated containers are takeaway boxes, and those are one of the hardest things to recycle in Hong Kong. I know some stores will charge like $1 or $2, but I think the government really needs to do something more. I wouldn't say ban it, because I don't think that would be possible yet, but maybe implement a system where you have to pay more for the takeaway box. And say, for example, like a reusable, you go to the coffee shop and they give you a takeaway cup, and instead of giving you a discount to bring your own cup, they should charge you because you didn't bring your own cup. And I think that will change people's mentality to charge them rather than give them a discount.
Do not even get me started on my Deliveroo rant. I hate all the food delivery companies, I'm sorry. How lazy are you that you can't walk up one street to get your rotisserie chicken? I have a problem with it, but anyhow. Yes, takeaway and food containers is I mean, why can't you just bring your own? It's not that difficult. And you know, the food delivery companies have a responsibility there too. And we need to hold them to a higher standard. So if you use Deliveroo or Foodpanda, write them a note and say, stop sending me containers, or incentivize me to reuse my containers, because it's a big problem. And as Tamsin just pointed out, and this is gonna lead into the next part, there's a lot of misconceptions about what you can recycle.
Definitely, and for me, I'm very new on this journey, I have to say as well. Like growing up in Austria, I have to say, and we brought this up in our episode, of course I grew up learning about recycling and that it's important to care and to clean, and that it's just what you do, it's just what you do. It's not even a question if you should or should not do it. I think there's like a whole societal, how should I say, like rule, unspoken rule, that that's what you do. But having said that, there's still a lot for me to learn. And to be honest, to be frank, like living in China now for the last 9 years, and living in mainland China before, where maybe it's sometimes even more, I mean, I don't know, maybe there's some good things happening in the recycling space as well, but I have to say, I got lazy as well, because if there are no places for me to put my trash, what am I supposed to do? And learning about this now with Somali letting me be part of this journey, what blew my mind in episode 2 was that, for example, Tetra Paks here in Hong Kong cannot be recycled. And buying those, I would think, oh, I'm doing something good, and I'm putting them maybe in a certain container, but they cannot even do anything about it. There are no facilities for it. What do you think when you educate people? Funny, I'm looking at you all the time because I want you to share what are some of the misconceptions. If you go out and educate people, what blows their mind?
Usually when I speak with my friends about the zero waste journey, they always say, oh, but I recycle, or I put everything in the recycle bin, it's fine. But no, Zero waste is about recycling less, not recycling more. So if we follow the 5R rules from Bea Johnson, reduce, reuse, refuse first, and then at the end only, and only at the end, you recycle the rest. But it's the end of the process. So yeah, I think people, you know, misunderstand this kind of thing.
Rafael, were there any learnings for you?
No, I agree with Fanny about the first one, which is to refuse. Is actually we need to change the way we consume. There are options on the table, it's just they are not widespread accepted yet by either like the food industry or whatever, any retail industry. So it has to come either from the consumers or from the government for incentive or punitive actions. But at the moment, if I take like from food industry, actions at the moment, we can see already a shift towards like greener or even greenwashing actions to offer packaging that is supposed to be either recyclable or like more eco-friendly, even if we know it's halfway there, because like a lot of recyclable materials are actually very hard to repurpose, such as like bioplastics, for instance, where you need to re-inject like new plastic to make them viable for the industry. So I would say that like it comes to the way we consume that we can make really like positive change. It has to be more into like what you are trying to promote, which is like consigned items, and also like what you say coming from Austria is like sorting our waste and things like this. I lived in Germany, and the first time I took out my trash, the next day I came up and the rubbish bin was there, and I was like, oh, nobody collected it. And actually nobody collected it, and there was a fine on it saying I didn't sort it. So I learned it this way.
I think it bears a repeating that, so Rafael mentioned bioplastics. We're talking about misconceptions. So a lot of goodwill food companies are trying to use compostable packaging, PLA, so packaging made from corn, or sugar. You may be shocked to know that Hong Kong does not have an industrial composting machine. So all of those well-meaning packaging solutions are going in the landfill. And what's worse, if you mix them with the regular plastics, you're basically consigning that whole bag of your plastic recycling to the landfill, because there's not enough staff and basically labor available to do the sorting on your behalf. So, I mean, it's nobody's fault, because we're just not aware, but this is at the level we have to get to where you even know that you have to separate your compostables from your plastics. Only the plastics can be recycled in Hong Kong. So just think about that. Every time you buy something, you're voting for the world you want. And so I hope you vote for a greener, better world.
Definitely the consumption, the oxymoron, right, that we wanted to talk about, Sonali?
Well, I think Rafael just kind of brought it up. So I thought the original name of the episode was Consumption, Journeying to Zero Waste, which obviously is kind of an oxymoron. Because if you consume, you're not zero waste. And so while I love the term zero waste, we are not yet in a situation where we live in a circular economy. I wanted to talk to the business owners, Fanny, Tamsin, Rafael, you know, you guys are selling stuff. So for you, you have this business where you want to get people to, well, food, obviously everyone needs to eat, so that's good. But in terms of the replacements for single-use plastics, in a way, aren't you sort of, isn't it a hard business if you're sort of asking people to buy this replacement and then not come back? Isn't that the success, that they don't come back?
That's why we really need to have a very good strategy when you're a business owner. Have more people who are coming back because they buy, for example, metal straws or, I don't know, like a reusable gift wrap, they're not going to come back for sure because they're going to keep it forever.
But that's successful. That means you've gotten
I think that the best thing to do as a business owner is to have a special strategy to ask people to empower more and more friends on the zero waste journey, and maybe offer like fidelity rewards when they're coming back.
What do you think, Rafael?
Well, obviously, having customers coming back is a source of pride. It means you manage to convince them that you are offering something that is worthwhile to them. Now, of course, it is an oxymoron to run a business in bulk for many ways. You actually reduce the amount of food people purchase. You offer them like more options in like a smaller space. And
so less food waste.
Yeah, less food waste. But if you look at it from like a business owner point of view, then you miss a lot of opportunities compared to like the consumer packaged food industry. What is important is to actually, as I said before, enable people to have the choice to buy in the way that they want. And for us, we try to offer like high quality products at like reduced price thanks to the bulk advantages, and also more diversity. We can offer more products into a smaller space, and we can offer more options to answer to the needs of people actually eating three times a day. So snacking, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you can find a solution that is not dictated by the consumer packaged food industry. And it also offers something which is like when customer buy in small quantity, they can just try, and they can either like or don't like. So it's not like a burden anymore to try something and to feel like, but what about if I don't like it? If you don't like it, you only got 50 or 100 grams, that's fine, the rest you can find another way.
Totally valid for all the food and the grocery part of things, but Tamsin, do you want to speak up a little bit on the single-use plastic replacements and sort of what's the strategy there to get people to kind of not come back?
So the goal would be for everyone to buy one thing and have it for the lifestyle. But I think it's more about making the conscious decision on what you need. We're not trying to say, you throw away one bottle you have already, and it's perfectly fine, you buy it, only for anyone. It's about what you really need and taking the time to go through your life and think about what do you need on a daily basis and what don't you need. And also, for example, like gifts everywhere. A lot of people come into our store for gifts, and I think that's a great way to either purchase a gift card or purchase something that you know they would utilize and use. So like gifting someone a water bottle, a reusable wrap, a lunchbox, and that would really benefit the person you're giving it to, rather than just giving them a little bit of single-use plastic that they'll never use again. But as Raphael was talking, in food, it's a little bit harder for us because people buy less, which is great. We would love to get a lot of customers and they come in and they're like, I've never tried quinoa, chia seeds. And it's like, it's okay, you can just come in and buy 10 grams, 100 grams, buy what you want, and you can just try it. So in that way, we reduce the food waste that they would, instead of buying like 500 grams, a kilo of chia seeds, they can just buy a bit and see if they like it. And then that really helps the community kind of try and test, because I know there's a lot of people who are hesitant to go into like a health food store and try it because they think it's too expensive or they don't think they're going to like it. But to give them the choice that you can buy a little or less.
So Hannah, you're the voice of activism here. So what have people like Rafael, Fanny, and Tamsin made? How have they made your life easier in terms of, because you're on this journey, you're on this challenge, right? And 2 years ago we didn't have these three lovely entrepreneurs. So I mean, Is this a big change in trying to live a zero waste life? Does this make your life so much easier?
Yes, I have to say I'm really big fans of all three businesses. And I do love spreading the word and telling everyone. So, I mean, it's still a very, very niche market. So I think in terms of what you were saying and drawing people back, right? Actually, I'm just telling more people about it. And then all my friends are just going, okay, there are solutions out there. And so obviously I'm going to the extreme, I'm trying to be zero, but actually what I've enjoyed about this whole journey is talking to people, requesting for no straw, talking to people and saying, okay, so why are you requesting no straw? Oh, is it because it can't be recycled? there are solutions out there, there are other businesses that can provide alternatives. So I think, yeah, I don't need to worry about repeat business. I think constantly a flow of new people hoping to change would be enough at the moment to sustain.
Yes, no, it's just like I just remember one day I was speaking with one of my friends and he just told me, he was asking me which kind of soap he should buy. He was at the supermarket, and then he was like, yeah, I realized what you think, what you said last time, but now I would like to buy a new kind of soap with plastic-free packaging, so which one should I buy? And then I was like, well, is there any palm oil inside? And you know, so we decided to have a little discussion on it. And then so it's now it's so funny because when you're gonna speak about this zero waste life, you're gonna spread the word. And it's very also funny because one of another friend just called me when he put his trash out, you know, and he's saying, yeah, now every time that I'm putting everything in my trash, I think of you. I'm like, oh, thank you, that's very sexy. At least you realized, you know, so I think more you're gonna speak about it, more we're gonna spread the word.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that, for example, we could all do, like I gifted someone a reusable coffee cup, and then they started, so every day they go to Starbucks with their boss and their teammates. And so one day their boss says to them, what is this cup you're using? And so this guy that is not at all Mr. Zero Waste starts telling his boss, well, you know, Sonali says to me, like, it's better to avoid using plastic cups. So I got this cup and it's great. And I really like it. I actually prefer drinking out of it. The coffee tastes better. So the boss went, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to buy a cup. And then the boss was buying everyone coffee at Starbucks every day. And then he said, I'm not buying you coffee anymore if you don't invest in a reusable cup. So that's now five people in this office who have reusable cups. So that, I mean, if we do the math, that's, you know, thousands of plastic cups diverted from the landfill. So, I mean, these little things, you know, gift someone a straw, a metal straw, gift someone a reusable cup, these are small things. And I think that's why I love the hashtag for Greed is the New Black today is little green steps, you know? We don't all have to be zero waste today. Maybe we'll never all be zero waste, but if I think people really wrongly assume that a small change in their life will have no impact on the world, and that's not true. I think I really like how Fanny always has these messages on her social media where she tells you how many, how much she's saved, diverted from the landfill doing the business. And I think showing people the numbers is so inspiring.
Yeah, since the beginning, we launched the business, the website, last summer. And we, since then, we saved from the landfills more than 200,000 pieces of waste.
And I think this is a movement that's living on social media. I think that I look at, and so Hannah's presence is on Instagram, Live Zero, you guys are basically an Instagram marketing business, right? It's all happening. That's where you tell people what's on stock. That's where you tell people what the new products are. You don't even use traditional forms of marketing. So I think we should discuss that a little. What do you feel that social media, is social media one of the big kind of ways this has changed the movement? Annie, you can start.
No, but that's true. Like it's zero waste is more like a trend now, which can be good, but it needs to be more a norm. And everyone who is like between 20 and 30 use Instagram, so I think it's a new way how to communicate. You know, so I think it's very important to speak about it on the social media to touch more and more people.
Tamsin, you communicate with your customers only on. On Insta stories, I feel. Tell me more.
Well, we use social media because it's free. We don't have the money to pay someone to do our marketing, so we have to do it all by ourselves. And I find that by using social media, you really reach the clientele. People, you know, can reply, they can comment. It's really quick. It's not like emailing. Emailing takes time and effort. With social media, Facebook, Instagram, it's really instant. People can see what we're doing, what we have in stock, what's new, and they can tell us what they want and what they want to see from us as a business. Because at the end of the day, our followers are our clients, and if we don't give them what they need, they won't buy from us. So it's been really helpful marketing to get the feedback from them. That's been amazing.
I must be honest that I personally am not very versed into social media.
But I feel you started recently and you're posting more.
That's what I want to introduce is actually someone came up and actually interviewed me and really liked what we were doing. Her name is TC and she's now in charge of our communication.
Oh.
She didn't make it today. But she's actually taking care of everything for making Edgar more aware about like what's happening around and also like communicate more about what we do and also engage into like more action towards social community. So we try to do together something that is a bit more than just like retail, but also to engage the local talents and also the local charities that can have some exposure through Edgar. So for instance, one of the first programs she did was to encourage people to bring their used water bottle so that it could be repurposed for like an association that would give them to needy people that can get the information on the bottle of where they could find a center for shelter and for food.
How wonderful.
So that is what my social media experience, which is that unfortunately...
Social impact media,
social
you know?
Social impact media. I mean, like it's...
You're like a community center. I think all of you provide something to the community that's missing, you know, collection points and activism and education and awareness.
This is what really surprised me on the social media scene is like actually how reactive people are and how you can actually learn from a lot of actions that don't get mainstream coverage. So as personally, I'm not that much into it. I need to get some guidance from someone who actually knows it better than I do.
Actually, what's really interesting is a lot of the brands that you guys, Fanny and Tanzid, represent in their store in terms of the ones that replace single-use plastic, like La Mazuna and Stashed and Keep Cup. I feel you once told Regina and I that you find them on Instagram, right, Tanzid? That's where you do most of your sourcing. I once asked her for an interview.
Everything we do is on Instagram. All the people we follow and see what they do, see what they buy. We get a lot of people who say, bring this in, bring that in. But for us, we're also changing because when we first started in the pop-up store, we had a lot of imported brands. But now what we're doing, we're changing to more local brands. So all of the solid shampoo, the soaps, even we have liquid soap, we have liquid, and we have bulk toothpaste now.
Tell us some of the vendors that you're working with here that are local.
We have Soso, and they make all of our shampoo, body wash, face wash, and then we have Bath & Basics, which is also a PMQ, and they do our face wash, toothpaste, conditioner, all, and then we have Enoch, which is a local brand. They do our solid shampoo. We just brought on a local deodorant brand, so you can come in and buy a solid deodorant, which you can take home, and they'll melt in your pot, and then you can just reuse that. And I think it's great to support the local businesses as well. And for food-wise, food is a bit more difficult. But we have a kombucha on tap now from Kombucha, and that's been amazing.
I'm their best customer. I come every 2 days and fill up my
bottle. We get a lot of veg jars in, so I kind of just thought, okay. There seems to be a lot of people known about the brand and drinking it already in very small quantities, and why not ask them if they can do it on tap? And that's been amazing to have these brands really accept the fact that they can actually also, as a business, sell in bulk.
Yeah, and you know, some of these brands are really special. Like Soap is a social enterprise. They hire women that are basically not very easily employed and that are from underprivileged backgrounds, and they use soy milk containers that they repurpose for their containers. In your case, you're getting it in bulk, but if you were to purchase Soap from their stores, I think that a lot of people talk about the metal straws and the plastic bottles and basically the coffee and the tea, but beauty and household is something that people don't talk enough about. I think that's still a very under-discovered area. So Hannah, you know, why don't you illuminate us on what people don't realize about what's going on in their bathroom that is totally not waste-friendly?
So the biggest find on my journey is actually the menstrual cup and period pads. So I think this is a subject that should be talked about more often. I'm able to have a fairly zero waste period, and I think it's really important issue to put forward, because actually carbon population have to go through this on a monthly basis, and they have to purchase new products that then are sent to landfill. So
can you tell us quickly what a menstrual cup is for the men in the room, or for me, not initiated?
So it is a medical grade silicone cup that is folded and inserted, very similar to a tampon, and inserted, and then it holds, it looks like a cup. You empty it out every few hours, and you clean it, and then you set it back in. So it's been, it was quite difficult for me to transition, but once I got used to it, it's just very liberating. I didn't have to go to the store to buy any new products, and it was a total revelation for me. So these alternatives are key, you know, and think of the amount of pads and also tampons that, you know, that I certainly used to buy. I used to stock up from the UK and then bring it all the way to Hong Kong, just because Hong Kong brands I didn't particularly like.
And they're all individually packaged.
And all individually packaged. What I saw the other day was actually a reusable tampon applicator. Mm. You know, there are solutions, yeah. So for people who are a bit squeamish about the menstrual cup, there are things like the period pads.
The reusable pads.
Yeah. He or she again. Sorry, Raphael.
Yeah, absolutely. There's reusable pads as well. There's, underwear that stops the leaking. There's so much stuff for us women. Also, I think people don't talk about it enough, but, you know, in most of the world, women are completely left out of the working world because of their period every month. I know in one of my home countries, India, that's a huge problem. So if we could get everyone a cup, it would literally change the world. That's also something to think about. These products have impact way beyond just eco issues. So Fanny, back to the bathroom. What else can we change in our bathroom?
I mean to say that Anna said something very interesting, because the menstrual cup is the best thing ever in the bathroom for the zero waste bathroom. So the bamboo toothbrush, that's a very easy thing to change compared to the plastic toothbrush. It was so funny because yesterday at the booth downstairs at the marketplace, someone came and said, why is that so different to have a bamboo toothbrush instead of the plastic one? So I needed to explain. And said that, you know, that the plastic toothbrush that you use when you are 10 still exists somewhere in the planet, in the sea or on the beach or whatever. So the bamboo is biodegradable. In 3 months, it decomposes. So yeah, that's a very good and easy method, and that's why I think,
What about the bristles?
The bristles?
It's a little controversial point. The toothbrush. Sorry, I'm going to bring it up.
This one, the brand I said, Amber Brush, they're making the bristles made with nylon number 6. It's the most biodegradable nylon. So it's going to decompose in 15 years, which is still better than 500.
I still remember when you organized the talk for Bea Johnson.
Yeah.
She brought her jar of waste, her famous jar, and she described what was in the jar. And I found it fascinating that one of the things in her jar, because obviously she uses a bamboo toothbrush, are the bristles of her toothbrush that she separates from the bamboo base and puts in the jar. So that's when I started thinking, I never thought about the bristles of a toothbrush and whether what's the solution there?
There's another alternative, which is not vegan, unfortunately, but they are bamboo toothbrushes with the bristles made with a hair pick.
I tried
two, actually, that I just bought here in Central. After a few years, you have like a pieces of bristles in your hair
from the pig.
So it was not very positive.
So any scientists in the room, please work on a bristle, eco-bristle solution, okay? What about you, Rafa? Let's have a male perspective in the bathroom. What about shaving? Let's talk about shaving.
Shaving, I found one thing that is like a shaving foam that is contained into like a material that dissolves underwater.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how cool.
And it is quite nice, except don't grab it with wet hands, otherwise they all dissolve at once. But The problem I have with that is that they use something that is very advanced, but unfortunately the packaging is not recyclable. So that's what we see at the moment, is like the same thing you mentioned for the bristle. So that people are looking for solutions to make it 100% recyclable, and that's the shift we see in many different suppliers, that they try to comply with the demands from the market. And so when you mentioned like pig's hair or whatever material, that is still like a step forward to make that happen, because like we find out like after a while entering this industry that there are still a lot of steps to go for. Like for instance, for Tamsin and I in the food industry, you still receive like most of the goods in plastic bags. It's hard to find another alternative, but it still makes me cringe to have like a 5 kilo of quinoa or whatever, and
absolutely,
then I end up with like a plastic bag. But what else can I do?
I love when I go into Libzero that I see the Bob's Red Mill. Bob's Red Mill is a Portland, Oregon-based brand in the U.S. that provides bulk organic pantry items. They use paper packaging. But you know, even paper packaging requires glue. Glue isn't always recyclable, so there's not always a perfect solution, but you know, little baby steps.
It's the industry is changing.
But another alternative for the shaving is, you, Tamsin and Benny, you both have shaving bars, right? So I think let's talk about why it's so much better to use bars. If you can make that switch, then using bottled products, not least of the reason why that we've all been brainwashed by the cosmetics industry to believe that we need millions of products and lots of bottles. We don't. Actually, there's a lot of studies that show that soap works better from a bar. So, right?
The first thing is to less longer. So, for example, the solid shampoo that we have, or even the solid toothpaste or solid deodorant, it lasts between 4 to 6 months, and the packaging, at least the one from Lamazuna, the brand we are working with, it's Tasman, it's a biodegradable packaging. They print with vegetable inks, so it's perfect. No plastic packaging, lasts long, organic. What else can we ask?
Well, I think for us as businesses, there are things that we can also do. For example, with food, there is packaging, so we just ordered in all these reusable big 25 kilo cotton bags that we can give to our supplier, and they can fill up and then return to us, and then we can do it in a cycle.
Wow, so you're going to take that initiative to send it to your suppliers. I love it.
And like all our herbs and spices, they come from a company in Hong Kong, and we give them big glass containers, and they fill it up, and they just charge us for the weight. And there are things with Lamazuna, you can actually we actually order it in bulk, so there's no packaging, and it just they just come in a cardboard box, and just all out there. But there are things that we can do. But I think as businesses, we have to speak up and say, can you please not wrap this in plastic? Because when we first started about 8 months ago, we had a couple of businesses which they said they're 100% plastic free. But when they come, they're like wrapped in plastic, and then it's just like, what is the point, you know? To say to your customers, okay, it's 100% plastic free, but then you as a business have to take off the plastic and hide it and just be like, oh yeah, it is. So what we did is we emailed them back and said like, why do you do this? And could you, not use it? So now for all...
And how did they respond?
So a lot of their responses were like, the retailers want it. The retailers want it on the lunchbox, so it doesn't scratch. They want it on the water bottle, because it doesn't scratch, so it's not damaged, there's no dust in it. So I think that's another thing for consumers to be aware of, that not everything you buy needs to be perfect. I think,
ugly vegetable movement.
Exactly. Like, you have a few customers and they come in and they don't want a scratched lunchbox because it hasn't been back to plastic, so it's not ugly fruit and all that. So there is there's something that you guys can do also, is want that change, and that will help.
And I think all of you that are listening today and then listening with us, not in this room, make sure that you realize, look at how much work and thought and foresight is going into running these businesses with such an ethical vibe. For Fanny, for Raphael, for Tamsin, I mean, they are really, really, I mean, sending your suppliers packaging so that they can do better, I mean, that's on another level. So, you need to support them. And you know, convenience and perfect items isn't everything. You can, thanks to them, we can now live a more zero waste life in Hong Kong, and we have to support them, right?
Regina? Definitely. And for me, it's always the how can we ourselves make these little steps and work towards a more green and better and beautiful world, as techy as it sounds. Do we have to watch it at the time? Do we have to ask that important question?
I just have one question.
Raise a question?
Yeah, I wanted just to ask a question to the public. When we have time later after the talk, if you can tell us what's missed in Hong Kong in terms of zero waste life. So if you miss anything, if you want to have something that we don't have it yet, please talk to us.
And what we're going to do is on the Green Queen Facebook page, on the hashtag event page, we're going to give you all the information about all these beautiful people, and you're going to be able to connect with them. We're also going to, it's all going to be in the Green Queen newsletter and the hashtag impact newsletter, so we are going to give you more resources so that you get a fuller understanding of how you can communicate. But yes, please tell Fanny and Tamsin and Raquel what you're looking for.
And now you please tell us. What could we do? We know about, I think the people in this room, the people listening on Facebook Live, for sure already are in it, right? They're probably already at least interested, otherwise they wouldn't take the time on a Sunday to listen in and come here and join us today. But we know about the straws, we know about the bamboo toothbrush now, but what is there that they could do now, after we are all leaving this room? To really take this first little green step that the greenest thing in black is all about today.
I would say if you don't know how to start, just read the Bible. The Zero Waste Bible. It inspires, as you say, most of the times, tons of people. So please, if you haven't read it yet, please do. We have the French version, maybe soon the Chinese one. So feel free to read this one.
It's translated into 27 languages or something crazy.
Sorry, English, French, you can buy in your English everywhere.
Raphael, you're up.
I don't have much advice, just to think a bit ahead of like your purchases, meaning that when you order anything, whether it is from the internet or you buy something in a shop, you need to think about whether even you really want it or not, or it's in both buy is like another story, but like how it's gonna end up once you're done with it. It's like we can see it with like, for instance, mobile phones and things like this. We end up with like a lot of things in our drawers that used to be like pride and joy and now are just like relegated to the bottom of the drawer and not used anymore. So it goes the same way with food and it goes the same way with like a lot of things that are very attractive on the shelves but ended up like being like just used a part of their lifetime. And so that is my advice, is to think ahead.
So my take on this is to spread the word and also vote with your dollars. So support businesses that are pioneering for this movement. And talking about Instagram and social media, what I found is that it's the psychology of change. You want to inspire people rather than look at the negatives. You want to focus on the positive. So what I say to people is not, okay, you shouldn't do this. This is what you can do. The people attending the talk today, the people listening at home, you are already the eco-conscious people out there, but what about the people around you? Can you spread that word more and get them to support these businesses more? So that's really when the whole movement will start snowballing, and then we'll get the whole community of people to do it together, and that's really what will drive change.
I think for me, it's I found that the whole term zero waste very overwhelming. I think people might be overwhelmed by a term because at the end of the day, no one can be zero waste. But there are little steps that you can do. So instead of buying your organic produce in packaged items, you can come to a bulk food store, or even like there are loads of bulk items stores in Hong Kong. Go there. for what you need. So there are always other options, and it might take a little bit more time out of the day to do it, because you know, shopping at a bulk food store takes some time and effort to bring your own container, fill up, weigh it, you know, price it, all that. But it really makes you understand what you need. So I think it's to ask yourselves, how much do you need, how much you can reduce buying less and saving more.
Gina, did you have a tip?
Share.
You stole mine, yes. But basically, yeah, you know, we're all activists thanks to social media, right?
I used to only, not only, I'm a social media expert. I don't know what I'm doing on my Instagram account. Sorry if anyone is following, don't please don't judge me, I don't know. But I used to, before I started my own business, I used to like a lot of things. Like, I like this, oh, this looks great. And then actually, Christina Dean, she mentioned that Redress, another eco-warrior, she didn't come up with it, but she also said, like, yeah, you have to share. Like, once, next time you like Tamsin's post, share it as well.
So that you can activate the all-powerful Facebook algorithm to make the post more popular. So you're all activists, you all have a voice, you're all on Facebook, I bet, and you're all on Instagram, so share and you know, like positive things, like people, celebrate people that are doing good things, celebrate businesses that are making a difference, and you know, don't live for convenience.
I should have another one. Tune in to the next episode of A Zero Waste Journey with Green Queen and Hashtag Impact.
Of course.
What is it gonna be all about?
So the next couple of episodes, we're gonna do a fashion waste one, kind of covering a few of the topics that were brought up earlier today in one of the talks. We're gonna go deeper on that, fashion waste, and what's the industry is incredibly polluting, and we need to look at how to change it. And another, after that, it's gonna be food waste, because we waste a ridiculous amount of food in Hong Kong. Thank you so much, everybody. What an all-star panel, and thanks for all our listeners who are not in the room, and thanks for everyone who's here today. Go to the Conscious Marketplace and invest in something that can reduce your single-use plastic use, huh? And you know, happy Earth Day.
Wow, that was amazing. Thank you all so much for sharing. It was really great to hear so many different perspectives and different angles. Yeah, I think for me as well, like, I've also started implementing a lot of the zero waste, and I can definitely vouch for the cup and the underwear. Like, I talk about this with all my girlfriends, they think I'm really weird, but I think we have to have more positive conversations about our periods as well. That's another day, another topic.
But every time I do see Steph, there's always something.